Hello, listeners. Mike Murphy here, and thanks for tuning in to another ABB Solutions podcast. I'm excited about the topic today. I have with me Ben Hines, Vice President of Product Management for the NEMA Motors Division, and he's going to speak with me about some of the new DOE regulations that will be affecting industrial electric motors. Ben, it's great having you back on.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great having you. For you listeners, Ben and I did a previous podcast titled Efficiency, What You Measure Matters. And on that episode, we talked about the true costs of running a motor. Now, in this episode, we'll be discussing the new regulations coming from the DOE and highlight some of these details because it's going to be impacting motor manufacturers. Ben, I first wanted to review a bit of the history in motor standards just to help us better understand how we got where we currently are.
Yeah, Mike, that's a great question. So when you talk about standards for electric motors in the United States, you really have to start with the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, the NEMA organization. NEMA developed a book back in 1989 called called the MG1, the Motors Generators 1. And that even today is still the standard for electric motors in North America. The U.S. standards tend to find their way into Canada and into Mexico just because we are such large trading partners with those countries. So when you look at the NEMA MG1 standards, it's really the standards that are used throughout North America. But those standards, they were first published in 1989, and within them, they set motor efficiency guidelines, I should say, for electric motors. And they set different bands of efficiency as well. So when Congress in 1992, the U.S. Congress, passed the Energy Policy Act of 1992, EPACT, they actually, inside that bill, they referenced the MG1 standards for motor efficiency. And that became law, went into law in 1997. So really, the energy efficiency standards that you see today, they really started with the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, which is a group of electric motor manufacturers that came together and formed the MG section. Now, those regulations that were passed by Congress back in 1992, they've been changing ever since. There's actually been one other congressional law that was actually passed in 2007, and that's the Energy Independence and Security Act. So that act actually went into effect in 2010. And that required electric motors in the United States from 1 to 200 horsepower to meet what we call NEMA premium efficiency. So NEMA premium efficiency is if you buy any electric motor today, it will meet, I should say, from that in that range, 1 to 200 horsepower. It's going to meet NEMA premium efficiency standards in the United States. That's law. Well, now the Department of Energy actually has the authority and they can set energy conservation standards for appliances, which electric motors are an appliance in their consideration. So since 2010 and ESA went into effect, the Department of Energy has established new standards for energy conservation for many appliances, including electric motors. So starting in 2016, it was the Department of Energy that passed a rule that required NEMA premium efficiency for all the way up to 500 horsepower. So the law that went into effect was a bit limited, and this one expanded the scope of that law that was passed in 2007. So it covers pretty much all three-phase industrial and commercial electric motors for 1 to 500 horsepower. It closed some loopholes on NEMA premium efficiency exemptions for certain types of electric motors, like partial motors and integral gear motors. So that was in June of 2016. So there's quite a bit of history when you look at electric motors in the United States and how we got to where we are today, which is basically NEMA premium efficiency being the standard for pretty much almost all industrial electric motors in the United States.
Okay, great. I appreciate you laying that out, because I know as I was growing up with motors, you hear terms like NEMA and EPACT and ESA, and it's always good just to kind of have a little bit of background just to understand kind of where we were and where we're going. So speaking of where we're going, Ben, what's happening now with this new DOE rule regarding motor efficiency?
Yes. So the Department of Energy just recently in 2023 passed a new rule regarding energy conservation standards. And that rule is going to go into effect on June 1st, 2027. So it's going to be a few years before it really goes into effect. But it's kind of the latest update to what they had previously passed in 2016. So this latest one, it adds some products that were previously excluded. So remember I said that the 2016 regulations went from 1 to 500 horsepower. The new regulations add in from 500 to 750 horsepower on three-phase motors. So they've expanded the scope of products that are covered. It also added some products that were excluded from the 2016 regulations. So a prime example is the three-phase air over motor. So motors that run inside the air that's being blown by a fan, the motors themselves don't have a fan necessarily. They're inside of an airstream of a fan. So air over motors from 1 to 250 horsepower are now going to be included when that rule goes into effect in 2027. And then the biggest change of the latest energy conservation standards is that the DOE is requiring NEMA super premium efficiency for electric motors. And that's from 100 horsepower to 250 horsepower. Again, that starts in June 1st, 2027. And then that's a really big change because electric motor manufacturers today, they produce all their motors in that range from 100 to 250 horsepower. They produce them to meet premium efficiency, and they will have to start producing them to meet super premium efficiency, which the reduction in losses. So if you take an electric motor, you know, electric motors are very efficient machines at that horsepower, let's say 100 horsepower. You're talking about a machine that's mid-90s efficiency. So very efficient machine, you know, let's say the losses are around 5%. What you do when you go to from NEMA premium to NEMA super premium efficiency is you reduce the losses by, it depends on the rating, but it could be upwards of 15%, maybe 20% in an extreme case, less losses. So that's a real big energy savings if you're a consumer. And when you get to these larger horsepowers, you know, 100 to 250 horsepower, you're talking about machines that consume a lot of energy. The cost to run one of those motors, especially if it runs a lot throughout the course of a year, is thousands of dollars. So, you know, by switching to NEMA super premium efficiency as basically the law of the land, you know, a new regulation that comes in the U.S., it's really going to save people a lot of money.
Okay. Ben, I'm curious, with the expansion of some of these regulations, you added they increased the horsepower up to 750. They're now including air over motors. And now this new NEMA super premium efficiency, it makes you wonder, how are motors being tested to make sure they're meeting these requirements?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And that's something that us as a part of the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, you know, we talked to the Department of Energy and we asked them, you know, a couple things. One, you know, they do set the rule for how the products are tested. Are they tested by ourselves? Are they tested by third parties? How are the certifications run? But then also, we always ask the question, you know, are the products that are being shipped into the U.S., are they also being tested, especially the products that come in on new equipment? You know, if someone ships a loose motor into the U.S., the assumption is those are tested and they're typically made by reputable manufacturers. But what about the motors that come in as a part of a piece of equipment? Are those meeting the same standards? So the testing that's done on the motors is very important. The Department of Energy does allow third-party testing, but they also allow self-certification if you have an accredited lab. So as an example, at ABB, we do have accredited labs in our own facilities. So we can actually test and certify our products that they meet the new efficiency requirements. And then we do have to submit motors for testing at a third party. They're actually pulled out of a stock product. They are shipped to a third party and they undergo testing. And that happens ever so often as a part of kind of the DOE to make sure that people are making standard products that meet the energy efficiency standards. So, you know, they don't let us, for example, just, oh, hey, we want to buy a couple of motors from you and test them and kind of give a motor manufacturer a heads up that they're going to test this motor. They will just ask to take a motor that's off on the shelf already, send it off and get it tested. So that way, you know, a motor manufacturer couldn't cheat and say, oh, you're trying to test this one? Well, hold on, we'll make this one specially for you, you know, and then try to make sure that they make one that meets it. No, it's your standard product that's off the shelf. It has to go and pass the test. And most of the time it's done by the manufacturers themselves, but then occasionally it does have to be done by a third party.
All right. Surprise testing. I like it. Plus it keeps manufacturers honest too. I like that. Ben, I'm curious, who all is included in these DO talks when we're talking new regulations?
Yeah, it's interesting. So the Department of Energy has really been good to work with the last couple of years. I personally have not spoken directly with members of the Department of Energy, but I'm involved with the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, NEMA. And through NEMA, we do have contact with Department of Energy. And it was nice, you know, for these latest round of motor efficiency energy conservation standards, us as a part of NEMA, but also other members that we actually formed kind of an informal group called the Motor Coalition. So it was the National Electrical Manufacturers Association. There were some other non-governmental organizations, NGOs, such as ASAP, which is the Appliance Standards Awareness Project. There was the Northwest Energy Efficiency Alliance, which is a consortium of utilities, and there were others. But we formed this Motors Coalition, and actually that coalition is who spoke with the Department of Energy about these regulations that were coming. So you don't just have motor manufacturers that are, you know, giving our side of the story and telling the Department of Energy what we think would be good for consumers, good for the motor industry. It's actually actual consumers. You know, the Northwest Energy Efficiency Alliance, that they are part of the discussions, and they are purchasers of electric motors, and as well as they produce the electricity that's used in the Northwestern United States. They see both sides of it. And you got, you know, the ASAP and the other NGOs that are there as kind of third party voices, balanced, independent, not connected to the motor industry. So it's really input from all of us that the Department of Energy says, hey, they would propose a rule. They ask for feedback. And then our Motors Coalition is really the one providing the feedback. And the Department of Energy, you know, it's been great. They've been really good to work with. They listened to our concerns. They've even listened to some recommendations that we made. They always ask good questions and provide good feedback. And that's really how kind of this latest round of regulations was set.
Okay, that's very interesting. It's always kind of neat to kind of take a peek behind the curtain when you're talking Department of Energy regulations. Ben, I understand that there's also some discussion around usable voltage on the nameplate. I remember seeing a lot of 208-230-460. Can you explain more what this means and how it's going to affect motor manufacturers?
Yeah, the effect of that new rule, so that's one of the latest rules from the Department of Energy. The effect of that rule, it's not really much on motor manufacturers, to be quite honest. The impact of the 208 rule, let's call it, the only real change for a motor manufacturer is we can no longer place 208 volt on a motor. So let's say, for example, in the ABB product line, a lot of the Baldor Alliance motors that they've been produced for many, many years, they'll have a little marking on the nameplate that says usable at 208 volts. And so what we're saying when it says usable at 208, because some customers are very concerned, hey, if I have a large voltage drop on my power line, maybe equipment is starting and the voltage is going to drop, am I going to burn up this motor if the voltage drops to 208 volts? And the answer is no, because those motors are operable at 208 volts. Now that motor is actually rated for 230 volts, but you've got to have a line voltage of plus or minus 10%. So 208 volts falls within that plus or minus 10% that 230 volt on that motor nameplate is rated for. So that's why we say, hey, this motor is a 230 volt motor, or maybe a 230/460 volt motor, and it can operate at 208 volts. What the regulation the Department of Energy passed says is that we have to remove that designation that says usable at 208 volts. We have to remove that from any motor that does not meet the nameplate efficiency at 208 volts. So what we were doing was we were making sure that customers knew that our 230 volt products could operate through a voltage drop and they wouldn't be hurt by that. So that was the purpose of saying usable 208. But now the Department of Energy is saying, hey, look, if you say usable 208, then your motor has to be rated at nameplate rated efficiency at 208. Well, that wasn't the purpose of us putting it on there, right? It was just for voltage dips. It wasn't for efficiency. So now what us and all motor manufacturers, members of NEMA are having to do is we're simply removing that usable at 208 volt. We're removing that from the nameplate. So now customers may ask, well, hold on. Does that mean that this motor can no longer operate through a voltage dip to 208 volts? And the answer is it can. Nothing has changed about the construction or manufacturing of that motor. That motor can still operate on a voltage dip down to 208 volts, and it'll be just fine. You know, the exception is, there's always exceptions, right? But the exception is if we mark a motor as a 208 volt motor today, then that motor is rated to run at 208 volts plus or minus 10% and meet nameplate efficiency at 208 volts. Whereas in the past, it was there for protection. Now it's there for an actual rating. So that's what you'll see. That's some of the differences. It doesn't really affect motor manufacturers. It really causes us to get a lot of questions from end users and people that are buying electric motors and saying, hey, this used to say usable 208 volts. It doesn't anymore. Can I run it? And the answer is that it's unfortunate. You know, nothing's really changed. It makes it a little bit confusing for our customers, but nothing's really changed. And our motors are the same as they used to be, and you can run them just like you did in the past.
Okay, great. Appreciate you clearing that up. Well, hopefully we'll do some proper promotions of this podcast, and it'll answer a lot of these questions. Thank you for clearing that up, Ben. Earlier, you talked a little bit about NEMA Super Premium and how it relates to NEMA Premium. So can you highlight that once more? But I also want to bring in how that is affected when we start talking about IE classes. Can you speak on that for me?
Yeah. So you mentioned IE classes. I think maybe we should start by defining what that means. So IE class is our classes of motor efficiency as set by IEC, which is an International Electrotechnical Commission. So that is the, call it the motor standards body, the NEMA, if you will, for that's based in Europe. And IEC standards tend to be adopted by many, many countries throughout the world outside of, let's say, North America. So IEC sets these IE classes. They're IE1, IE2, all the way through IE5 are the most common ratings for motors. And I think your question is, how does these IE classes, how do they compare? So NEMA Premium, which is still the law of the land in the U.S. Today, NEMA Premium is roughly equivalent to an IE class called an IE3. So if you hear IE3 efficiency and you hear NEMA Premium efficiency, they're roughly the same. There's minor differences between the two classes of ratings, but they're roughly the same. And so NEMA Super Premium, this new standard that's coming, again, only from 100 to 250 horsepower, but it is coming in the United States, that is roughly equivalent to an IE4 class. So again, it's where you get that 15 to 20% lower losses, same thing from an IE3 to IE4 as you get from a NEMA Premium to a NEMA Super Premium. So you might see IE classes on motors that are imported into the U.S. Especially from Europe, and that's how they compare.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, Ben, you did a great job about talking about new DOE regulations, new efficiency standards. It's awfully hard to talk about efficiency standards and not bring up the fact that ABB is a proud sponsor of the energy efficiency movement. Can you explain a little bit to our listeners what the energy efficiency movement is about?
Yeah, so the energy efficiency movement is something that ABB started, probably been a couple of years ago now, that ABB started this. And you know, the original goal was to get other companies, other like-minded companies and organizations to join us and recognize that the importance of energy efficiency, whether it relates to energy consumption or climate change or just a lot of things that are going on today, get companies to recognize the importance of it and then join ABB and join our company and join others and really try to promote the adoption of energy efficient products and solutions. And like I said, it started as something that was a part of ABB, and since we've actually split it out, and now it is a movement that is independent of ABB, and actually entirely, it's its own organization. And the purpose for the energy efficiency movement is so that members of this movement can become part of basically a place that they can share information, share knowledge, join like-minded voices around the entire globe. This is a global movement. It's not just a U.S. movement or a European movement. This is a global movement. And join with the others in industry. It's unbiased. It's non-political. It just promotes a very broad view of how we approach energy efficiency and challenges, and then what are those solutions. So that's what it means to really join the energy efficiency movement, become a member. And what happens when you join the movement is you get to collaborate and work with others within the movement to just on ways you can accelerate positive change and reduction of energy consumption around the globe. They get involved and they make you aware of a lot of different activities that are going on in just various places around the world, different areas that members can get involved and maybe help promote energy efficiency. It's a really broad movement. And if you're interested to learn more, if I didn't do it justice, you want to learn more, you can actually, there's a website set up called energyefficiencymovement.com, and you can see what it's about. And if you're interested, you can join. And again, it's not a commercial organization. It's something that's just there to kind of bring people that are interested in energy efficiency together and working towards a common cause.
All right, that's great. I think that's a fantastic place to stop. Ben, this was awesome. I appreciate you speaking with me on the new DOE regulations. I think our listeners are going to get something away from this.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime, Mike, anytime you want to talk, just let me know.
Yeah, fantastic. I think it's conversations like this that really show that ABB does focus in on cutting costs in industries in a smart and sustainable way. Listeners, if you would like to learn more, like Ben said, we're going to have some links included in on this podcast at the bottom of the page, so feel free to check those out. As always, reach out to your local sales rep. And I hope you keep tuning in to the ABB Solutions podcast in your favorite app. Thanks again, and have a great day.